Hi guys, I'm Shayo. I'm single. I'm joking. Please don't put cut. I'm ready now. I think you should go.
Okay. Yeah. Hi, what's up, y'all? My name is S-K-A-L-E-S, Skales.
Yeah, it was the S to the K, so I really like the S-K-A-L-E-S, Skales.
Skales. We're good backup singers, by the way, you know. EP coming soon, like.
I mean, we're really excited to have you on here. I mean, before the cameras came on, I was saying how my favorite song by Skales is Booty Language, because how do you say booty in your language? Oyinda. I really.
Some of us, we say Oyinda as well.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously, guys, look at what I'm working with. But yeah, I really, really, really like that. And I mean, it's really good to see you in person and feel your vibe and just sort of, you know, connect. So, I mean, I'm really looking forward to today. And yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah. You took off your shades.
Yeah, I did, man.
You're so polite. Okay,
so let's start with something that has been recent. Because I mean, when it broke out on Twitter and social media, it was a bit worrisome, to be honest. Because a couple of weeks ago, you called out the EFCC for breaking into your house. And I can only imagine how traumatizing that experience was. Because before seeing your reports, I saw a girl who apparently stays in your estate and spoke about how she first thought it was armed robbers. And when she heard it, she put on like 11 pairs of jeans or something because she was so worried, had to hide her laptop and all of that. And I mean, it's not something that is not uncommon. The EFCC has been raiding people's houses, breaking into people's houses, innocent civilians, innocent citizens. I can't even ask how was that experience, because it must have been so traumatizing.
Yeah, man. Of course, it was very traumatizing. As a matter of fact, I had to change my locks. I didn't used to close, like when I closed my bedroom, I didn't used to lock it with keys. I just always leave it open. Now I always make sure. And I tell all my guys, hey, did you lock the whole house? It's traumatizing that I can't even sleep. I'm always scared because let me tell you what happened.
Yes, please.
I went to perform at the celebration and I came back at night. So usually my daughter comes to like hang out with me and stuff. So I just spend time with my daughter because we don't live in the same house and stuff. Anyways, I came back from celebration, you know, my daughter was awake, they were trying to make her sleep. So I was like, okay, give her to me. We chilled, then she slept off, then I slept off. Next thing, I'm sleeping like this and a stick just tapped me.
A stick?
Yeah, a black, like, you know, those sticks that they always hold, like police hold, that kind of stick tapped me. So when I opened my eyes, I was like, who the hell are you, bro? Then I looked, I saw like three or four guys with AK-47s in my bedroom.
Wow. So they'd like already got through the house. Yeah, everything,
they already got in.
With your daughter in your
house. So
hand.
I asked them, because it was like three or four hefty guys. They were like, you know how club bouncers, they look like that. They were like big, they were wearing armor jackets with like, there was no EFCC badges on them. There was no name on them. So I was like, what's going on? Who the hell are you? So I thought it was even like a TV show prank, because I look like, is anybody in on this thing that's going on? Any which ways, he said, oh, we're EFCC. I'm like, EFCC, Skales, EFCC, how? I'm like, so, I mean, with what I've seen, like with guns and everything, I can't drag with them now. I just obviously have to be cool. And my daughter is there. You hear me? Any which ways, I said, what do you want? They said, where's your phone? I'm like, cool, here's my phone. I'm like, check whatever you want. So one of the guys was taking my phone away. I'm like, dog, you can't take my phone away, man. You have to show me what you're doing
with
my phone.
Which you're looking at on my phone, yeah.
So they were trying to, I'm like, bro, you can't push me. Show me my phone. So he did like, he tried to hide. I'm like, oh, God, what's the word you are? Show me what you they do. So he did, he put some words, search for some words, blah, 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 blah. He saw some transactions. I'm like, dog, I'm Skills. Read the description there. What did you see? Yes. So he saw some transactions for payments of different kind of stuff that he shows and stuff. When he finished, and noticed that I was clean, he now put my phone back in his pocket. I'm like, sir, can I have my phone? He's like, no, I can't. I'm going to call his name. His name is one Mr. Femi. I can't remember his surname. So, any which ways, he took my phone. I didn't know what was going on downstairs. So I was like, okay. He took my phone. He was walking downstairs. I was like, sir, please let me have my phone. He's like, no, we'll give you later. Okay. We went downstairs. When I went downstairs, I have a studio in my house, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So people come to my house to record with me because I'm also working on my album at the moment. So he rounded up my boys. So there was my DJ, DJ Spicy. There's my artist. His name is Jody. He was there too. Then there's this producer he used to work with in Naira Marley. His name is Vibes Ace. Yeah. He came with somebody else. Like, you know how you just come with somebody.
Yeah.
So they said they saw something in his phone. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, cool. I can vouch for my guys. My guys are not into fraud because I always tell everybody that's around me that, hey, you don't want to do anything that would jeopardize or ruin your life, like your dreams, your whatever your hustle is. You get me? Anyways, they said, oh, they saw something else in my artist's phone. I'm like, okay, so what are we going to do about it? They said they have to take them away with them. I'm like, okay, cool now. Take them away. Like, that's your... So they took them out. So I asked them for my phone again. And they refused. Next thing, they started shouting at me. I'm like, okay, hold up first. How did you get into my house?
Did they have a search warrant? Sorry.
Nothing. So obviously, they're illegal. You get me? My problem with the EFCC guys is it's not even the fact that, okay, they're not doing what they were built for. They're now using the power to oppress a lot of people. Because
like
I'm telling you a story. They're oppressing me right now. I'm scared for my life. I won't lie to you. I'm scared at the same time. I know I'm clean. That's why I'm not. I'm moving around. You hear me? But any which way, so I asked them, okay, how do you get into my house? They said, oh, we're ringing the bell. And nobody was answering. I'm like, how do you expect anybody to be awake by 3, 4 a.m.? How? So I said, who's going to pay for my back? My broken through my back door. They said, they started laughing. You hear me? I was like, and I went and saw the back door, it was broken.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, so this is like armed robbery, man. Like, because why would you break into somebody's house? No search warrants, nothing. They said it was a routine check. That's what they said, routine check. I've never heard of routine check. One of them said, oh, they had, so I spoke Hausa to somebody. No, sorry, one of them spoke Hausa, so I spoke Hausa back to him. So he was like, where are you from? I was born in Kaduna. He was like, I was like, oh, they got an intel that's I'm doing fraud. I'm like,
so did they actually raid your house except for your phone? Did they go through any laptops? Telling you, did they raid
they
your
didn't
house?
Check anything else. Obviously, they made a mistake. Obviously, then they found out it was because they made a mistake. What they do? What did these EFCC guys do? Is they may come to raid maybe you.
Mm-hmm.
Then if they see some kind of flashy luxurious car,
they go to the next. They will place, just come to
you. Get me? Thinking everybody's the first. Because when I walked outside with them, they were trying to raid my one of my neighbor is like old people. Yeah. So they were trying to go knock. I was like, those are old people. Why do you want to stress them, for Christ's sake? Like, these guys are sleeping because they have work in the morning. You want to go and wake them up for what? Because any which ways, they took my boys and they left. Obviously, I didn't want to drag with them. I just wanted them to leave first.
It's 3 a.m. in the morning.
Yes, I wanted them to leave first so that I would start my own.
Yeah.
So when I went outside, they told us to go back inside. Obviously, they're trying to hide something. Because why are you telling me to go back inside? They said we were interrupting their investigation. That's what they were saying. I'm like, okay. I refused to go outside because I told them, this is the time I go to gym. That's what I told them. Because I just want to see what's going on. So we went outside. We saw that they took the security of my estate and put them in one side. Which means they came and bullied my security with guns. Mm-hmm. Again, and obviously, they're government officials. I mean, they use the government's name to do what they are doing. Because I don't think the government will permit this kind of thing. You hear me? Any which ways, they put all the security guys on one side and they just look like prisoners. When I saw them, I was laughing. I was like, what's going on? So after they left, I started my own. I went with the outboss online reporting them because obviously this it seems or looks or feels illegal. When I started, taking it back, when we were, the guy that heard that I could speak, he took my number because I was like, I just need your number. I want to know where they're taking them to because I've never had EFCC problem. I always avoid all this kind of
things. You were never at any point called in for questioning prior to the raid?
Nothing. None. I said it was illegal. They made a mistake. Once they found out it was Skills House, that's why they didn't search anything else. They left. Because they knew that they just messed up.
So why did they take your boys? They could have apologized.
They claimed they found something in my artist. As a matter of fact, I'm talking to you, he's still there.
No,
because it's in custody.
I would tell you, this is the first time I'm doing this kind of talking about it, actually.
So your artist is still in custody?
He's still there. So when they left, the guy that took his number, I also called him, so he has my number.
Mm-hmm.
So when they left, when I started the outburst, that Mr. Femi called me to threaten me that, oh, we saw two criminals in your house. We're going to rope you in. Whoa. I'm like, you suck to me. Like, how does that even make any sense? Like, I'm an artist, for Christ's sake. I have a studio. People come and record. Should I be telling them, show me your profile? Are you a fraudster?
Yeah, let me go through your phone. That's...
You get me? He threatened me. I was going to record it, but it was so fast because I didn't save the other guy. I won't lie, I didn't save the other guy's number.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, it happened so fast. And plus, with the whole, I was still trying to digest, like, okay, what just happened? Then we went to the estate management to report, like, why would EFCC just easily gain access to, you know? Then they showed us the CCTV. EFCC
yeah,
came
I saw
out.
The CCTV they were pushing. Yeah,
the one you saw is the ones that the cameras were hidden. So they didn't know that they were
the cameras
there. Because even when they entered my house, they saw some cameras. They were like, is this camera working? That's what my boys were telling me, that that's what they were asking them. Any which ways, they moved. If it's not armed robbery, why would you push CCTV away?
Cameras away. I mean, you are why government are you
doing
officials.
That? If it's legal, why are you doing that?
Yeah, if you have your paperwork, if
they
you
were
have
pushing
your...
the CCTVs away. You get me? And also, as I'm talking to you now, they're holding my boy back. They're not charging him to court. Fine, you say he's a criminal. Won't you charge him to court?
Mm-hmm.
This is 1 week after. They're not charging him to court. Based off of what the family of the, that's my artist. Because mm-hmm. obviously, I don't want to have anything to do with this. Because this is everything that he or they claim he's guilty of is everything that I stand against.
Mm-hmm.
So I cannot be part of this.
Yeah,
you know?
I understand.
Any which ways. From what his family is saying, they're saying that, oh, they're mad. The reason why they're holding him is because of my tweets that I have to delete and apologize to them. I'm like, but you did what I said you did. You get me? That's what we are facing in Nigeria as I'm talking to you. I'm scared. I'm scared every day for my life.
Nigeria's justice is now based on if you delete your tweets and say sorry, then free somebody that's illegally obtained and...
Obviously, they want me to delete the tweet so they could change the story.
The narrative
and
the story.
And say, oh, you see, we said it.
So
because you know
you
they denied
this,
it.
But yeah.
They denied it and said they did not come. So when I started posting the CCTV evidence, that's when they now started saying, oh, they now, based off of, again, what I heard from his family, they said, Jody told them that when they got there, all of a sudden, they just, because they arrested other people. Why is it only them they're posting? Because they're scared.
Yeah.
Because obviously they know what they did was wrong. You understand? I don't want to speak honestly. I don't want to speak about this because I'm in a country where if you stand against these kind of things, your life is at stake. But I mean, I'm part of this now, so
there's something I wanted to bring to your attention, because when the whole thing happened, obviously, like I did go Instagram, Twitter to look and find out what happened, and I noticed that on their official Instagram page, like your house, because Shara and I talked about this,
they put
like,
my house address,
your house address, is
address
there.
Like to the door number.
There was something
like,
I noticed because I did actually go through. We went through other people's posts, and it's saying, okay, so and so person was arrested in an area in Kujo Estates. Someone was arrested in an area in Kiniko, like body long. It was quite specific.
You could tell why they did that, right? You could tell because they know what they did was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They can I use the F word? They fucked up. You get me? They know they fucked up. You understand? Because based off of everything that happened that day, you came to my house to do investigation, Shay.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't search anything, just phone. You just left.
They're gonna accuse you of fraud. I would have expected them to check your laptop.
I'm not a fraudster. I've never done fraud in my life.
Was there any tech person there? Any cyber person
there? Those guys were not for tech. What they do is haunt young boys.
And they didn't show you like badges.
And collect money. Nothing. Listen, you don't understand. These guys, do you know what it means for, let's say in this studio, everybody, the camera guy is holding gun. That means you can't say anything. Because guess what? At the end of the day, if I had dragged with them, they would have shot me and said, oh, I was...
You were resisting arrest.
Do you get me? That's then, what it would have been a different story. Which I'm telling you for real, I'm scared for my life. Because now they put my address out there.
Mm-hmm.
I live there. My child comes there. Mm. As a matter of fact, my child was injured because of the person that was holding.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that because I saw that you said
I had
that,
to post all these things so they can see. So the reason why I had to speak out was so the world can see what's going on. You get me? Like I said, a lot of people have told me to keep quiet. Like, but... Listen, how can I keep quiet when my life is in danger?
I mean, it's. I don't feel like you can keep quiet. Number one, like you said, you are skills, right? And if this happens to normal people and they don't have the voice or the backing that you do.
Or the platform to
and it's very easy for me
it.
To say, yeah, speak up and do this. But your child was injured in the
my
process.
My child was injured.
How many people's children are killed or hurt or damaged? How many people suffer this injustice? Even now, I honestly don't even know what to say to you. Like, how do you solve this injustice? If I was illegally arrested...
Listen, if I had known that day that my child was injured, none of them would have left there. Would have killed each other in that place. I'm telling you, because I'm sure all of them that came there also have kids. Like, first of all, how do you pull up to somebody's house that is a family house with a gun?
Guns.
I didn't kill anybody.
Yes.
I'm not a murderer.
They didn't even speak to you nicely killer. That they didn't feel like, oh, now we have to use force. They could have just wait. Okay,
listen,
can we
if you watch those
outside?
Videos, can you see how they were breaking into people? As a matter of fact, there's one of my neighbors that is not in the country. They just broke into his house, took his cars and left.
How?
I don't understand. How do you explain that? I'm saying all these things because I've never, I used to hear this EFCC story. I didn't believe it a lot of things that, you know, I mean, because I would think, okay, they'll have warrants. That's why they went. I didn't know it was, that's what's really going on. How do you break into somebody's house, take their car keys and drive off with it? You know, every day now, when I'm sleeping, I'm always telling my guys, lock everywhere so that by before they break into, we'll finish recording them.
I mean, you're even braver than me, to be honest. I'm not sure that I would have been able to like go back to my house.
I wasn't able to sleep there for 3 days. I had to go to a friend of mine's house to go sleep. Honestly. Even calls that I make, I was always scared that what if these niggas are tapping
my phone. Down.
But not even if they're tapping, they will regret it because what do they want to see? They want to be hearing, oh, have you sent these beats? Oh, have you? That's what they want
Imagine
to be hearing.
Imagine being a taxpaying citizen and a responsible taxpaying citizen who gives back to your community and your society and you're living in fear of your life.
I'm living in fear because every day I keep, my manager keeps telling me calm down.
And you're with your family. Like, how are they recovering? How are they recovering from that? Because I saw that your daughter was injured. I'm so, so, so sorry about that. How is she doing now?
She's fine. She's fine.
I hope the whole experience was not too traumatizing. I mean, it was traumatizing. It was
traumatizing to everybody. Everybody. Like, you don't understand. Like I said, like every day I'm sleeping in the night, I'm always scared that what if these guys pull up again? You understand? Because obviously I'm a target now. Because why would you do that to me with my family? And you know who I am. Like, so with everything that I built, I will now use fraud to ruin my life.
I mean, we've heard some artists being like, I mean, we have, this is Nigeria, let's be factual. Mm. We've heard of some artists having, you know, ties and connections to Yahoo and fraud. But I don't think I've ever heard your name mentioned before. Like, Yahoo or fraud.
Even,
so
even that I don't even have any of my friends that's into that. Like, all my friends are like, because the thing is, I know what, I know what can happen to your reputation when you hang out with people like that.
Yeah.
So I try my best and I give everybody that's around me an advice that please try your best not to put your hand in things like this.
Honestly, I don't think I can ever be a flake. I even tell my friends, so best of my knowledge, I don't have any friend or family member that but as I said, to the best of my knowledge, people can't surprise you.
Yeah.
I don't have any friend or family member that is, you know, affiliated with Yahoo or doing fraud because I've been scammed before. I've been scammed of a lot of money before and I know how it feels to have your money, your hard-earned money go away.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're coming online and you're seeing somebody. Because I saw this video right like before we stepped in today. He was pouring like bottles of VSOP inside a girl's dress, all in the name of your bullying. So I know what it feels like to lose money.
But then again, it's not
all
everybody that does that. I have friends that are crazy like that. But
only I'm just saying
that
let's
like
look
that
into the general. Because a lot of, I mean, well, I don't want to feed into stereotypes, but a lot of these people, from stories and stuff that I've heard from people that actually do these things, don't use the money to do anything good or sensible. So it's crazy to...
Let's take a shot to justice. I pray that
No, there's no justice in this country. I don't believe in justice. That's why if you check my tweets, I said, who am I going to report to? Because they're all the same.
But you know what? You never know who's listening. Like, and I hate to bring the Mobad situation into this, but I don't feel like Mobad knew the power of people behind him until his death. Mm. And look how much controversy and look how much his death is going to prevent so much to come in the future. It's going to help so many different artists as well. Mm. And I feel like if he even knew the power that he had, he would have probably said something sooner. So I feel like you speaking up, you might not see it, but we really don't know who it's going to help in the future. We don't know, because there might be other artists that they're going through this and they can't speak up, but they don't know what to do. And you speak, and that's the thing with these type of stuff. You speaking up, you never know who's watching and you never know who can be like, you know what, wow, they did this to skills, me a normal, like, so don't ever, like, I feel like God gives you, things happen to you for a reason. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And there's a reason why this has happened to you. And I genuinely believe that something good will come out of this. And ASCC, you're going to do better.
Hopefully. I don't believe, like I said again, I don't believe
in justice
in Nigeria. In Nigeria.
In Nigeria, to be very honest.
I don't believe it. I just, all I believe in is if the people know what's going on, then that's when justice works.
Because
guess what? They would have gotten away with this if I didn't speak up.
Obviously.
You know what I mean? And that day was just bad business for them because they didn't know that it was Scales' house they got into.
Yeah.
It was one of my boys. They asked whose house is this? Mm-hmm. So now say Scales. So I think they wanted to confirm. That's why they came to my bedroom
to look
and
for
they
you.
Confirmed it was Scales.
Wow.
Do you get me? So imagine if I was not Scales. What would have happened? Do you get me? And I'm telling you, I'm actually scared for my life. I'm traumatized. I'm scared for my life. They're bullying. They're using the grievance they have for me to deal with a boy that's innocent. Charge him to court if you claim he's guilty. Charge him to court. You know, whatever it is, let's know. Yeah, they're not charging him to court. They claim that, oh, they got order from above to remand the boy. Because we're trying to meet the bail the bail situation.
Yeah.
And they don't want to let the boy go. I'm speaking out for the first time because I feel like I need to talk.
You know? No, you don't need to talk.
Because I feel so bad for the boy. The boy has been there for like a week.
Why
I can imagine.
Why are they denying you bail though?
They're denying him bail because obviously they have grievance against
me. They have grievance against him.
No, but I mean, if you have
normally,
bail,
according to
they can't hold, they can't do the things to skill that they can't can do deal with what
I get
doing
it, but I'm
him.
Saying you as a lawyer, and then if again, you're denying me bail, you must have a legal reason. We're denying you bail because
orders from above.
That's
we're in Nigeria.
No justice, no accountability. To be very honest, except you people shine. Like, look at this person. I hate to bring this into it, but justice for Oster. This girl died about 2-3 months ago, and the police did not release a wanted report until about 2 weeks ago. After people made so much noise on social media, her killer literally came online and was posting. He was confessing. This is like a written admission. This person is saying he did this thing, and radio silence, all these police PROs that are normally very active on Twitter, very happy to talk about these things, radio silence until people started making noise. So honestly, it's really sad being in Nigeria knowing that some things can happen and you just pray. Like Nigerians, I feel like a lot of us are more on the prevention aspect because we know that there's no cure. So I make it not happen to me because justice in Nigeria,
scary.
That sounds like what an opposite. But I mean, hopefully, eventually, we get to a time where people can actually live as citizens in Nigeria without having to worry about, oh, who is breaking into my house? Who is doing this? Who is trying to hold me responsible?
The only offense in this country is just be a young person that is successful.
Trust
me, you are a target to pull from police to or drive Benz. As a matter of fact, because of this issue now, all the Benz, I'm going to go and change it to Prado because when they see Prado, they feel like, oh, because I really don't understand. Like, so I can't drive a Benz without being a criminal. So I can't.
You can't even use an iPhone without being profiled.
Bruh, it's crazy, man. Because that's what they think. I'm actually tired for this country. I'm tired, man. Like with this thing that happened to me, honest, man. You don't understand. Like,
just gone, like
I was already done with this country, but with the EFCC thing, it was just like these niggas, man. They're just so stupid. Like. But yeah,
it's crazy. I'm sorry. I honestly, hate stuff like this because even when I'm hearing it, I'm feeling like
there's the girl that they broke into a house. Like, okay, that's
told
that's
you,
the
yes,
same
that's
chick.
What I said she had to wear 11 pairs of jeans.
It's not only how
she there's another
husband and wife that they broke into their house. Like these people work for one oil and gas company, so they were shocked because they have kids. They broke into their house.
I even saw your videos from your neighbors and stuff.
I have
like
so
that.
Much more videos, plenty. You get me? Plenty more that I just stopped posting because I didn't want them to use their grievance
against
me on that boy. But they're already doing it, so whatever. And they don't understand. They're not hurting me because if I can lock up, they're not hurting me. They're hurting the young boy that is. I don't know, like, if you claim he's not innocent, charge him to court. Mm-hmm. Why are you keeping him there?
That's
from above to remind the boy. That's what they claim.
That sounds like a movie.
Like, I'm telling you, as I'm talking now, I'm scared because I know that they are looking at me. They are haunting. They want to do whatever it takes to bring me down. And that's why I want the world to know.
What's going on?
You're speaking up now. Nothing will even happen.
Let's not give them any more fuel. I want to ask, what else do you do except for music? Like, except for being an artist?
Man, it's just music for now.
You own a record label or?
Yeah, I own a record label.
Down to even record label conversations. I'm happy that we've entered this record label conversation because I do want to get an artist take on, like you mentioned earlier, I want to know what's the relationship like being an independent, like you've been an independent artist before entering a record label. You've been under somebody's record label and now you own your own record label. How has the transition been, number one? And then what would you say about the relationship between record labels and Nigerian artists, especially in light of recent developments surrounding Mohbad's death and what happened with Malian Music and other people just coming out to speak up? Even this when YBNL Princess Temi Obasa came out talking about what she went through in the hands of, you know, when she was in YBNL. What would you say about that?
Man, all this, every time I hear about stories like that, I just always wonder because I know that it's not a do or die thing. It's an agreement. Is if someone is not keeping up to their promise and it's in an agreement, I mean, you call them and talk to them and you guys find a way. You have your lawyers, you resolve it, because that's how I always do mine. And, you know, I've had my own fair share of like record label issues, but it didn't get to this point. Because there's no business in this life that I feel like there's not going to be issues. There's no business that's smooth sailing. There's always going to be a disagreement because we're all different human beings. You know, what you want or what you need is not what I want. Not what I need, you get me? So I feel like there's instead of all this back and forthness, there should always be your own team that fights for you. Mm-hmm. And when I say your own team, you should have your own lawyer. Mm-hmm. Most importantly, as an artist, you have your own lawyer. Your lawyer should be able to fight for you. Mm-hmm. You get me? Legally, because it's supposed to be legal, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for me, that's what I feel is, because this issue is recent, Steve, so I don't really know what anybody is going through. I can only speak for myself with my own experience. But I just feel like as an artist, instead of, you know, calling out, because then again, let's look at it. With this mobile situation, a lot of artists are just going to be doing the most. Mm-hmm. You get me? Just things that, I don't want to say anything else, yeah. but you get what I mean. Like using these opportunities just because of maybe you have a deal and your own part of the deal you're not fulfilling is now use this opportunity now to say, oh, this label is treating me like this because you want the public to fight for you
mm-hmm.
for what your legally is written there that you've not fulfilled your part yet. Because I mean, opening a label is like is more like I believe in you, and that's why I'm investing this amount of money, millions,
mm-hmm.
in you.
I mean, some could beg to disagree, to be very honest, because a lot of record labels have also been seen to be quite opportunistic, to be very honest. Let's look at this POV now. Mm. You have a young boy coming from, let's say,
nothing.
Let's even say, so a young boy coming from, you know, the slums of somewhere, he has very minimal education, or he's not, let's even say he might be educated, but he's not exposed.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know anything. He's coming from a family background that they don't really have much and stuff, but he has a talent. He can sing, he can rap, he's really good. He's a really good performer. Obviously, he's willing, he wants to be in the limelight.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know much. And then you put him in the hands of somebody who, you know, this person is exposed, this person has seen the world. You've seen the talents in this boy. You know this person, because human beings by nature are very opportunistic.
Mm-hmm.
Nigerians by nature are very opportunistic. That's why we're always trying to back the other person. Do you get? So, I mean, he's not thinking, oh, what does he know about non-disclosure agreements? What does he know about, oh, sending off his intellectual property? He's here, he's signing this, he's signing that. Because I do understand that having a record label is, I've seen you, I want to invest in you.
Mm-hmm.
But we can also take away the fact that a lot of record label owners are quite opportunistic and see these talents as, oh, I want to have you and harvest you. And you don't know better. So, I mean, what's on my point to educate you?
Yeah, but I mean, that's why now, you know, as an artist now, you know, all these things are going to happen and they're going to be like reference points for every artist to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You get me? So this is an opportunity, I believe, for every artist to learn that, you know, yes, you're desperate, blah, 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 blah. But you should always make sure you have a lawyer or someone that knows the business beside you. Because trust me, obviously, I'm as a businessman, if I see that this is the loophole, I would always take advantage. You get me? That's how it is. So definitely for every artist, I feel like it's not an emotional, how do I put it? We're not here to...
it's not a friendship.
It's not a friendship. It's a business.
I mean,
it's
dropping millions, so I have to do whatever I can to milk it. Money, you get me?
Yeah. So I feel like
I would have had that money in one bank account just chilling.
Else,
but I'm spending on you now. So for real, I believe this whole Mobad case should be like a learning ground for other artists that are coming up. Like, if whatever it is, just make sure that you always have like people that believe in you, one or two people that believe in you and understand the business. Or if someone approaches you with a deal, you could take it to other people. Like when I was going to be signed the first time, I called everybody that I know that understands the business, and I showed
them. That was to AME, okay.
I spoke to them, oh, this is the offer, what do you think about it? Because I was desperate, I needed it. So if they, right now, they tell me, oh, we'll put $10 million, I'll say yes, you get me?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I believe God helped give me the wisdom enough to, you know, be able to talk to other people. Because I mean, I also had like people that were guiding me with like life and stuff. So I always like reach out to them, like, hey, so there's this offer, blah, 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 blah. So definitely you always need to also, because not every record label will tell you, hey, go and bring your lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Some record label will be like, oh shit, he's down.
I feel like this is where history and knowledge goes into play as well. Mm. Like, even just, let's even not even look at your situation or my bad situation. I think even if you look at music, let's even just say R&B or rap, look at the history, look at people's contracts, look at things that happened to Biggie, Tupac, Diddy, like even people who are mainstream or smaller, everybody at some point, even Nas, like I think Diddy just recently signed over some people's rights to their music just now in 2023, and this is from the 90s. Mm. So I feel like even now as an artist, I feel like we have so much access to stuff. Like we have access to YouTube, Google, like just type in what type of music contract should I look at? Yeah. We have so much access to things that we didn't before. Not even that, but like, because we have so much access to knowledge at the tip of our fingers where we didn't have before. Like, Google is still a relatively new search engine, you know, compared to in the 90s where we have so much access to things. Like, we have so many access to information. I feel like now, as an artist, you also play a small part into researching into your history. Find out what is a good contract. Okay, if I have this raw talent and I feel like I also need these, because guess what? Money is also a form of raw resources. Mm-hmm. I need this. If I don't feel like, if I feel like I'm better than this, or I don't feel like they're giving me what I'm worth, then somebody else would want you.
Yeah, true.
Like, you also have, you know, you were talking about confidence earlier. If you're an artist or somebody's in the industry, you have to believe in yourself, because guess what? If you don't believe in yourself and I see that you have talent, I will manipulate that.
Hell yeah.
I will use you under my thumb and make sure that you feel like you are never going to be shit without me as your manager. And so even that, like, it's even, I think that the music industry is a scary place. Mm-hmm. Like, it's actually scary.
Speaking of the music industry now, can you, like, reflect on your journey in the music industry down to, you know, because you mentioned, like, your first record label. Obviously, you had a split with the record label. I know you came out publicly to say that there was a time where you were homeless. And honestly, I feel like, I think somebody else too had that experience. Was it Chinko Eko? Or somebody that had
so many
that
people had
experience.
Their experience.
So many
I don't
people,
feel they speak about it.
People think being in the music industry is a bed of roses. It's all happy go lucky. You know, you're making money. You're all decked out in bling. You're driving fast cars, flashy cars. But then when you come out to say these experiences, people are just, skills had this issue. This person had that issue. So, like, how did it get to that? How?
I mean,
led to
my
that?
Own situation was like, I always tell everybody, like, yes, we whatever issues with whichever label I was signed to, it's bound to happen, it's normal. Mm-hmm. You get me? So, but me being feeling entitled, like, oh, they have to take care of me after a deal is done, is wrong. You get me? So I would tell you my own situation. My own situation was, I became homeless because my deal with EME was done and obviously they were paying for my house. You get me? So obviously I'm homeless now, because as at that time when I was in EME, I wasn't making money. You get? Yeah, I wasn't making money. You know, we did one or two things that, you know, brought money, but it was not those kind of sustainable money, because I was also a young chap, you know, like, I just moved to Lagos, so I was still learning life. You know, I've always been under the wings of my mom, so I was still learning a lot about life. And like I said, it wasn't like amazing money I was making. So whatever I was making, I was sharing it into two, one send to my mom, you know, take care of myself. And also when the deal was over, I had to move out, get from the place EME got for me. So that's how I became homeless. And, you know, shout out to everybody that, you know, lended me a hand back then. You know, from, I don't like calling names again, because next thing you always
get said, you didn't mention my name. Like, I didn't mention,
you know,
I
get you. So there was a lot of people that, you know, lended hands to me and, you know, helped me like their penthouses to stay, you know. But I feel like I was overstaying my welcome.
You didn't want to look like you were.
So I now left. So I stayed in the hotels.
So it wasn't like they asked you to leave. You just took it.
Who asked me to leave?
The record label. Yeah. They for your house.
I mean, it was done. So they don't own the house also. So you have to leave. So I left. And, you know, I remember I was homeless. I had no cash. Just my friends, you know. And I just had to, I don't even know how I lived through it, but I just did.
Do you feel like some of your industry people, I don't know, because you know how it's when the going is good, it's really good. But when it gets bad, that's when you know who your friends are. Do you feel like anybody during that period that was writing for you when you were there sort of left you or neglected you or detached when things went bad for you-ish?
Man, yeah, of course. I had no friends, man. It was crazy. I had no friends. People stopped picking my calls. But that's another thing I always try to say. And I think I say this to, I advise people, because I feel like you should never feel entitled. Nobody is your friend. It's because if you're successful, of course I want to come close to you because I need something from you. So I keep telling people, so don't feel bad. Why are you feeling bad? Because this person is not picking my calling. Oh, you're not hot again anymore and you don't finish that shit. Is he your brother? If he was your brother, you feel bad. You get me? So I don't feel pain anymore. Trust me, there are some people I call that, you know, I get no's from, but I don't care, because that's more reason why I should focus on myself. Strategize, plan properly. Of course, I have people that believe in me, that are always beside me. You get me? So those times, obviously, like, I don't want to even call names, but
they were hard.
People that turned their backs on me, like,
are you cool
and there was
them
people
now?
That showed me love that I didn't expect. This one, I always call his name Olamide. Olamide was not. He wasn't my homie. But he was that kind of guy that every time I reached out to him, he was always willing to do stuff. So when the whole thing was happening, like, receiving his call was like, this guy is not my guy, you know, like, mm-hmm. not, no, it's not like he's not my guy, let me not say it like that.
We're not that close at that time.
But that's like one of the people that he was like, oh my God, like, you get me? So he kind of gave me, he's the reason why I didn't become a, he's part of the people that gave me a reason not to be a bitter person, because I would have sat down and say, oh, so this person did not help me like that. I mean, I don't used to complain.
I'm not like,
I just look at it
writing their names down. No. When I blow back.
No, you know that's the mindset. Whoever did not wish me happy birthday, I will not wish you happy birthday.
But that's the mindset that I feel like is not a cool mindset. Like, you should always have it in mind that
No,
what I'm saying is, okay, cool. It's not a, it doesn't make any sense. Like,
I mean, the industry is different.
I met you because of music. So what do I expect?
But you chop my money, if tomorrow, like, you must be there for
me. No, but that's what I mean is, for example, there's this artist. This artist only became my friend because I have hot songs.
Yeah.
And, you know, them, never. They need to be with me.
Then you're right. Nobody's your friend. It's just that socially, we are all guys, but real life, you don't have,
you know, and nobody should have that entitlement, sense of entitlement that, oh, this guy has to go all the way from me. I never, if you don't want to, it's not by force. You know, like, we move on. I know. And that's why, if you see my career, I always make sure that I'm good. I always make sure that I'm better than where I used to be, no matter what.
With this new zen and this new energy and your perspective that you have now, are you and WizKid still beefing?
Yeah, no. The thing is, we were kids. We were younger. You know, we didn't know better, you know, and I don't know. It's just...
So, as of now, are you friends?
Yeah, we're cool, man. We're cool. Every time we see, we talk, you know. And I mean, what else do people expect to happen that we should... We should stay in the same house. Like, you get me?
No.
We, you know, everybody's grown now. Everybody's doing their thing, and there's respect for each other. You know, he's achieved what he's achieved. I've achieved my own. You know, I'm grateful to God. I'm still here. You know, so
then I do answer it. I'm sure because I know that when that thing happened, it was very hot. It was a very hot time that thing happened, and I know that you said that you wrote his song Superstar. Is that something? Was that what's your take on that? Or where do you stand?
Okay,
on
so
that
back
now?
Then in EME, all of us, we write for each other, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, as much as I would say, I did that, but he also impacted in my own career. Mm. Like, if you listen to Mukulu, he wrote that hook, by the way.
Mm.
So I did that for him. He also that's how the team was.
It was give and take.
You know, sometimes Banky could hear something and be like, oh, why don't you change his line? He'll say, oh, this line, he'll send you a text like, oh, use this line instead. You get me? So it was more like a team.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always just looking out for each other, writing stuff for each other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could write for me, I could write for him, and that's what it was about.
So, you know, I was going to ask after that was, I know Wiz's mom recently passed, and I know that your mom's late as well.
Yeah.
So I was even going to say, do you feel like, you know, I feel like when someone dies, it brings like a certain enlightenment, because you would have probably met his mom in the younger days.
I've never met her, actually.
Really?
I met his dad, but not
his mom. I would have thought, because you know, you said you were younger together and you used to be ever with your mom. I would have thought like when something like that happens. But moving on, like losing your mom, because you said that you are a handbag. How did that, I don't want to say affect you, but how did that make you
still
grow?
It's still unreal, man. Like, I can't believe it until now. Mm. You know, as a matter of fact, her remembrance is like in a couple of days, like next week, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
next week, Thursday? Same
Saturday,
day as your EP? Oh, okay.
Saturday, actually. Like, it's crazy. Like, I don't even know how to explain it, because I used to see her like, she's eternal, like she can never die, you know, kind of thing. And it just
always
happened.
Always there, always present.
Yeah, it happened. I wasn't there. I was far away in another country. I was in America at that time. And it was just, I just felt helpless, you know, kind of thing. And when I saw her body, man, I was scared to go close because I still couldn't believe it. You get me? She was just there, just on the...
Just calm.
I was like, damn, you know. And I mean, I don't wish it on anybody. It's such a hard thing because I don't lie to you. I don't think I've recovered yet because I still get like thoughts. There's still like a lot of thoughts of me and her. Sometimes I think about, because my mom was really funny. So some things that she does, I just still remember and I laugh. Like, it's crazy. But yeah.
To be honest, I don't think you should. I mean, to be honest, I tell people that death is not something you recover from. I shouldn't expect people to recover from it. When I lost my grandma, who I was really, really, because I think that's the most painful death that affected me, I didn't go for her burial. Mm. Like, I was supposed to have a test that day in school, and they canceled the test. And they're like, oh, when are you coming? I lied to them, like, oh, no, the test is still on. Because for me, like, seeing it, being there, would have made it real for me. Mm. Until date, I tell people I'm a very delusional person. At the back of my mind, she's in my auntie's house somewhere. Mm. And we just don't talk as often because, oh, she's not reachable. But death is not something I would wish for anybody. And I hate it when people say, there's something like toxic masculinity, you are a man, chest it. No, don't tell people that. Let people grieve. Let people cry. Let people feel it, because we felt things when they were alive. And we should be allowed to go through the feels of, you know, them passing. Don't tell people, oh, get over it. And you're a man, you have to be strong for the family. No. I don't have to be strong. It's not something, I don't want to be strong. So yeah, I do understand you. And honestly, I just want to say that you shouldn't be, I don't think you should rush to recover. Allow yourself to feel it. You were with her for most of your life. Mm. Why should you use a year to recover from it? You should be able to use that same period of time to take your time. I remember it. And yeah, it's just, loss is something that's just really painful.
How's fatherhood?
Yeah, and it's amazing. That's another thing I want to say. Like, my daughter looks exactly like my mom.
Damn.
It's scary sometimes because I just look at her, like, they have the same behavior. Like, when I see the same behavior, when she's calm, she's the way she, my mom acts, she's like that. When she wants to eat, it's like, and they look alike. Like, I don't know how to describe it to you. If you know my mom, you just be amazed. Like, wow. Like, you know, and she was also like born like 5 months later, on the same day my mom died.
That's what Yoruba people call it. 28.
My mom died 28th of October. Yeah. And she was born 28th of March.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy, yeah. You know, and that was like earlier than when she was supposed to pull up.
So, yeah. I'm screaming, he said pull up.
Yeah.
Okay. You have one child, just one beautiful girl.
Yeah, just one daughter that I know of. I've tried my best to avoid baby mamas.
How'd you find it?
You know, things could happen. I'm joking.
How'd you find dating? Do you date Nigerian girls? Is that, what's your spec?
What's my spec?
Yeah, single, right?
Right now, man, I don't even know what my spec is.
Are you single?
I don't know.
I'm single as her she.
I'm here.
Living my life.
Are you single? I'm surviving.
I don't like to say anything about my
relationship.
Yeah, I'm available just, to you. Just whatever, I need to be whatever available you think. To.
Whatever you think is cool.
It's on you. If I'm single, I'm single. If I'm not, I'm not.
I don't even know, man. It's crazy because I've chilled. Like, I don't understand women.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't understand either.
No, it's like, we don't get each other. It's so hard to understand. I've met most of the women in my life, or most of the women that I know of, are great.
I feel like you know me, so I'm going to claim that.
No, they're great. But this is, of course, I love booty. You know,
but
you know what? I love booty, but I don't even love. I don't like to be with booty that's so big.
opportunity has arisen.
I love a woman that's a hustler.
I was going to say that booty language is my favorite booty song. But based on what you've said, it's like, I'll say booty language was my favorite booty song. Because how can you sing a song like that and tell me that?
I do like
that song. Was not a song for small booties.
If you want to confuse me in this life, just put booty.
But you said that you don't like the one that is too big.
I will not be in a relationship with the one that is too big.
I feel discriminated.
For us that don't have booty, we have nice personality and we're funny.
I feel attacked. I feel discriminated.
No, see, that's what you don't understand. What you don't understand is,
you don't like BBL. Are you a BBL fan? You prefer it natural. Don't say like natural. You like natural.
I love natural, you know.
For you, it's all yash.
Yeah, man, I love yash, man. See, yash.
So, I mean, I think, I'm sorry, but I
used to shake body, but nobody did that body. It was the front body.
Shake body and everything now. See, but for real, like, if you know skills, all my friends now, if you're watching this, they'll just be laughing. If you want to kill me, that's my weakness.
Bring
yash. Me too, I cannot lie.
I'll be like, who's that?
You will see me.
I'm just saying, but when it comes to being in a relationship, I don't even know
why?
If I like.
Does
big,
it scare you?
I don't like
you?
Big ass.
Why?
I just like.
Don't you think you can handle it?
Really? Like, I don't have.
I need a fire bonnet.
Honestly,
I'm scared.
Handle it. I can't handle it.
Then why are you scared?
I'm professional.
Then why are you scared?
We're in these streets for so long.
Then why are you scared?
No, I'm not scared. I'm just growing up now. Like I said, I just discovered myself. Like, I just, I feel like I just became a man. Like, 3 years ago in 2020, a lot of things happened to me. So I became more confident and I understood what I wanted in life. Before, I didn't know what I wanted. If you just find, you get your age. But now all what I wanted in a woman is, I want, most importantly, peace. I want peace. I want, of course, if you don't have beignets, just look nice. Like, have portable booty that you can grab. You can grab. But sis, again,
better get to squat.
Then again, I love a hustler. And when I say I love a hustler, is of course, I'm who I am. I've achieved this, I've achieved that, or I have this amount of money in my bank account. I want someone that will sit down and is doubling it, not sucking me dry. You know what I'm saying?
And I feel I hate that shit.
And that's what's happening. That's what's happening in these streets right now, because every girl that I've met, because another thing, I always try, like to have conversations with girls like that I meet, and just every girl that I've met is always about, oh, depending on niggas for money. You get me? There's this star that I had a conversation with that I don't want to call her name. She's a very close friend of mine, but you guys don't know because you've never seen us hang out. We don't hang out in public, but we're cool. Like, we're neighbors, so we always like go to like smoke one or two. You get me? So I was asking her, like, she was telling me, oh, you know, I used to buy this for my man. I used to do this. I'm like, so you used to, in Nigeria, I used to buy this for your man.
I was going to touch on that. Skills. Let me be bastardly honest with you here. And I will say this. You'll be surprised the amount of women that actually look after their men.
In Nigeria, what is they look after?
And I don't know why to say this.
The women I've met.
She should not say that she's the one that bought everything for
Who's
him.
Who's that? Who? But that's another thing I want to tell you. I have dated women that you do things for them. You buy this, you go on a date, you buy them expensive stuff. Then because they do one or two things, they'll say, do you know what I did for him? I bought this. I'm like, these things that I spent money and bought.
Let me say something. I feel like in this life, different people have what they want, to be honest. Yeah. There are some women that want to be taken care of. And there's some man that want that say, hey,
no, every girl
there's
in
some
these
men
streets now
that want to be taken care of.
Every girl in these streets now can quit their job.
And you just know, well, let me tell you something. Doesn't make them bad people. I'm sorry, but it doesn't make them bad people. To be honest, like,
I mean, not every girl. I know some other girls.
It doesn't make you. I'm sorry, but it does. If I want to sit down and be taken care of, it doesn't make me a bad person. It's just a matter of finding who I want to jam with. Same with some men. I was giving you somebody's story, like before we came on set. This man just wants to sit at home, and his wife should take care of him. And I won't see you as a bad person. It's just what you want, and it's just what your preference is. So what I think is, men, especially Nigerian men, have a habit of wanting one thing, then going to meet a woman who does not want that same thing and trying to convert her into wanting that.
Yeah.
There are women out there that want the same thing that you want. Go and find them and find your square. Like, what I will always find its level. Find the woman that wants the same thing out there that you want, and leave the women who don't want to do those things with you.
It's hard to know them now.
Do you date celebrities? That's what I was gonna say. Do you date people in the social light, or would you rather somebody
I don't discriminate. Like, I just, as long as you're good for me, you're good for me. But like I said again, most importantly for me, it's not about asking me for money. As a man, I should be able to take care of my man. That's my dude, my woman, rather. Jesus Christ. I should be able to take care of
I should be able to take care of my woman.
Yeah, nah, hell no. You know me, man.
That's like, my woman.
Hell no.
Woo,
so I should be able to take care of my woman, you know.
Uh-huh.
As a man, that's African man, that's, we are used to that. That's who we are. But I'm just saying, I need that kind of woman that
can
I
hold
give
you
this.
As well.
No, not even hold me now. Like, help, let's grow. Not just relax. Me, I'm doing the thinking. The kind of woman I want is, if I give you 1 million, we double, you surprise me and double it and come back. I would give you more. You take. You understand? That's the kind of, but I'm just saying, in this age and time, it's hard.
I feel like with this age and time, people don't, I feel like women are not rated enough. Because guess what? A lot of people are like, wait, and I say this.
Women are, this is the best time that women have been more rated.
Wait, let me land. I mean, in the sense of making money. I mean, in the sense of making money. Like, especially now, let's say you date somebody who's in the social, and let's say she's a content creator. They might be like, oh, she doesn't make any money. But I've seen some content creating contracts. Look at Jackie Aino. She started off on YouTube. She's one of the biggest earning black content creators. She makes money.
Yeah.
And I feel like guys are, oh, she's just on there every day, her husband's buying her bread. Like, listen, if you look at both what they earn, you know that she's not a small fish. So I feel like guys sometimes, if they think, oh, you have all these nice things, or you do this, they just assume that, oh, they, a lot of people make assumptions. They assume that she just takes, but she works like they, and sometimes working hard, yeah, hard look good
in these streets
now.
In these streets,
even in these streets.
No, but we're not talking about abroad, we're talking about,
I'm talking about in this Lagos,
in this, my Lagos,
in this Lagos. Women in this Lagos make working hard.
I can't wait to see, I mean, let me not let me not hurt my friends, that because I have a lot of female friends
that
are really cool with me. I know a lot of them that are very hardworking. As a matter of fact, they even impacted my career with like decisions, ideas, and stuff like that. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's not women that work so hard. But I'm just saying my own preference is I need a woman that if you come into my life, you're impacting. Because I'm also going to be impacting your life.
That's and that's why
we
are,
do you understand? We should not be, we should grow. It's not all about, oh, we have to travel to Santorini. We're going to do that.
Ibiza.
We're going to do that. But let's, what would make me so happy and make me want to even turn me on and be like, damn, this is my woman, you know, is if I see that my woman is as business, is business minded, you know, that I know that my life is safe with you. You get me? Do you understand?
Okay. That, while we're on it, speaking of growth, let's talk about your new single, Don't Say Much. Don't Say Much.
Yeah.
That's even the, let's talk about it. Because I listened to it and it's very profound. I mean, obviously, it's not booty language, it's not shake body. And I feel like as an artist, you go through different phases of your career, you go through different phases of your art and your creativity. And I mean, listening to the lyrics of the song, like, it's very, very profound, to be very honest. I feel like, and then sitting down here with you and having these conversations where you spoke about, oh, having like a low self-esteem, being in the music industry, I mean, it kind of feels like you put... That song sounds very rich with experiences and feelings and emotions. It feels like, oh, skills of there, skills of now, skills of in between, everything Oya put into. Let's talk about it. What inspired the song? It's a banger, but it's not booty language, like I said, or it's not what you go to the club and say, but it's a very profound song that if you want to be in that space, you're feeling inspired. I feel like it's more inspiration, like inspirational banger, not just necessarily club type of banger. What inspired the song? What goes through also your mention about your self-esteem in the entertainment industry?
So I just honestly what I've been saying is I've just discovered myself, like before I was always trying to do things for other people. Like when I say other people, it's because I'm trying to fit in. You know, I didn't like know that, okay, this is what I want to do. I know that I was made by God definitely to inspire people. And when I say inspire people, it's to use my story to give hope to other people. And I feel like all this while I've been doing it the wrong way. I want to entertain you. I want to make you dance and stuff. But I want to tell you where I'm from and how bad it was. Because a lot of people don't even know that. Listen, I don't even know what being rich was like. I mean, now God is blessing me, you get me? And God has been blessing me for the past decade. That's why I'm still in the limelight and stuff. But yeah, so this is my EP. It's called Proof of Life. It's basically just, you know, with everything that's happened to me, my losing my mom, the birth of my first child, you know, relationship issues, there's marriage issues and all this kind of stuff. It's just kind of reset my life again, that man, I need to tell my story, you get me? And that's why Don't Say Much is like, if you check from like As I Wake Up,
I was about to say, As I Wake Up is, because you even mentioned about like making my daily bread and stuff like that. There's like a really big, like you said, transition from shake body and now like you're evolving, and there is a clear difference between the skills of then
and now.
I mean, trust me,
there's
amazing.
A lot of there's booty songs still. I still have loads of them.
I'm sorry, some of us I don't have booty.
I could play one for you now.
Can you sing it?
No, that's I can't sing. I can't remember the lyrics.
Because that's the only way you can appease me after that discriminatory statement that you made earlier.
No.
I don't feel discriminated against.
Listen, I love big booty. You don't understand. I love you don't understand. Do you know what it means to stand behind a big booty? Do you know what it means to stand behind a big booty and walk?
I don't know.
Pipe
I've never
it
stood
properly.
Behind myself.
Nah. Oh damn. Wow. No, then you should probably. You know what you should do? Wow. Next time, get a mirror. God. Next time, get a mirror. And do it.
I'll do it. I'll try it. It will be
such an amazing.
I'll try it.
Again, you have big booty. You have a nice personality.
You're funny. And you're a hustler.
You have a nice heart.
But I mean, this
guys,
song, like
I didn't finish about Don't Say Much.
Please go on,
So Don't Say Much is just a continuation, you know, of me just telling you like the life I used to live then just was crazy because. I feel like my life is a movie. You know. Have you watched The Pursuit of Happiness, Will Smith?
That's
practically how me and my mom was, the Nigerian version. Like, get me? Oh, we were the Nigerian version. It was crazy. And that's why, like, now that everything is good, my mom dying is like, why
it's timely,
God?
You know,
like, anything is like, it's sad because my plan was this woman should just be calling me, I'm in Greece now. Yeah, go on. What do you need? Send it. You know, that was my dream, you know, because this woman suffered. You know, like she suffered and stuff. So, and hence, that's the whole idea of this this EP. I want to show you guys like the EP and the song actually. I want to show you the
EP is out on Thursday.
It's out on Thursday. I want to show you a clip. I want to show a clip from the wait, hold on.
We're gonna see a clip. It never seen before.
Yeah, real quick. Oh my god.
Yeah, October 26th. EP coming out.
So I could give you guys the is a teaser and it's me and my daughter in the cover. So this is the first time. You guys, man, you guys need to pay for these things. All these things that I'm giving you guys free.
I was really like Pauls.
I was really like Pauls. What happened? What did Pauls do to me like this?
I love it. I love it.
No, but hold up. I gotta show you this. This is
no, I want to see it, to be honest.
So it's this is just a clip of me and my daughter, that's all. It just it's just really special, yeah.
Aww.
Just a little clip. Oh man. So that's it.
Oh my just god, that is life, so beautiful.
Yeah.
You guys, it's beautiful. Oh my god, that is so beautiful. Yeah. And especially like seeing it and you know and the conversations that we've had. Yeah. That is so beautiful.
Yeah, I wish you the best of luck. Honestly, I wish you more success.
His EP is coming out on Thursday, guys.
26th of October. And then an album next year. An album coming soon next year. Don't worry about the date.
I'm already working on it.
If you haven't downloaded the songs already, songs out already, go and download them.
Watch the videos.
Streaming platform, go and listen to Skills. If you're not already following him on Instagram, go and follow him so that you know where he's about to drop it. And Twitter as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he tweets, So it's been really wonderful having you on here. And hopefully, you know, we'll love to have you again another time. You know, just catch up
I'm
and
available,
see
man.
What's popping.
Yeah, what's popping.
Right. Thank you. I feel like clapping.
Thank you for having me.
No, you're amazing. Guys, I'm done. You can cut now.
Wow.
Oh, this thing has been in my esophagus.
Is that a new thing?